And one more time, the final case is Wheeler v. Sarpy County. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Steve Delaney, and I am the attorney for the appellant in this matter, Rick Wheeler. Rick Wheeler was a deputy sheriff with the Sarpy County Sheriff's Office for, was a deputy sheriff at the Sarpy County Sheriff's Office for approximately 25 years before his termination back, I believe, in 2014. Termination was as a result of an incident that occurred at a Jersey's bar in Papillion, in which led to a complaint of conduct unbecoming by the Sheriff's Office against Rick Wheeler. A trial was held on that matter for the Merit Commission in Sarpy County. The Merit Commission issued a one-sentence termination that the appeal be denied. Termination was upheld. That termination was then appealed to the District Court of Sarpy County. Judge Durr, sitting in place of one of the regular District Court judges, issued an opinion of December 16, 2015, upholding the termination. And as the court notes from the brief that was filed in this matter, one of the items that was not appealed from that order was the procedural due process argument that had been made in the district court. Really, the central focus of this appeal deals with two different SOP policies within the Sheriff's Office. We have policy G1200, which is the standards of conduct and core values, and we have G2200, which is the disciplinary SOP for the Sheriff's Office. Both were in effect at the time of the Merit Commission hearing, and both were utilized in the termination proceedings against Rick Wheeler. The evidence at the commission hearing itself was primarily the sheriff indicating that because there was a potential touching of a complaint by Gayla Ingold, she did not testify. In fact, I believe it was Captain London, who is now Chief Deputy London, kind of went through, as you'll note in our brief, kind of a litany of things that were not done in that investigation, things that he said should have been done during that investigation. In terms of the conduct unbecoming, under the code, under A1, conduct unbecoming, says conduct unbecoming of an employee shall include that which discredits or disgraces the sheriff's office or employee or impairs the morale, efficiency, or operation of the sheriff's office. It is our contention that there is no evidence put forth at the commission hearing that addressed that particular language.
No evidence?
I don't believe there was any testimony from anyone that said that the conduct of the officer impaired the morale, the efficiency, or the operation of the sheriff's office.
Was the alleged conduct represented or presented into evidence? The fact that he had engaged in alleged unwanted touching?
There was secondhand evidence from, because they did not call Gayla Ingold to testify. Right. They had people who said, I reviewed a tape or I read a report that was compiled by someone else, and this is what it said. Or they interpreted what it said. There was even a conflict between, I believe it was Captain London, who said, I did not find that there was any touching of the breast. And someone else said that there was a finding of that. They said there was a drug-free workplace violation, and they said, no, we're not going to go with that either. So there were conflicts within the evidence and the testimony presented, but the testimony was not presented by the competent witness, which would have been Gayla Ingold. And so the language that I've read you here was not testified to. No one who testified to this language. The second half of that, though, under the SOP 20G2200, and this is where there's a big variation between what I believe and what the appellee believes. I understand, my belief is under 2200, under subsection 7 of letter B, in order to have a termination, censure and termination of employment when the violation was so grave that continued employment would affect the operational effectiveness of the sheriff's office. Nobody testified to this as well. There's not one shred of testimony that said that the continued employment of Mr. Wheeler would affect the operational effectiveness of the sheriff's office. Now, Appley points out in their brief that, well, it's just common sense. But it's not common sense. There are cases that say if you have rules and regulations affecting your department, you have to conform with those rules. And if you're going to say we're only going to terminate someone when they meet the standards of B7 of G2200, then that, those are the standards that they're held to.
So if we were to assume the worst of the facts true,
yes,
okay, then under this standard or SOP 2200, looking at the facts in the worst light, would you say that that would constitute a violation so grave that continued employment would affect the operational effectiveness of the sheriff's office? If indeed an employee in law enforcement ropes a woman without her consent, wouldn't that be a pretty negative reflection on the sheriff's office as a whole, that its employees are out there doing that?
Well, I taking the worst case scenario, as you said, I think it still requires the evidence to be put on at the time of the hearing. You can't make an assumption that this event constitutes this punishment. There's got to be a nexus, just as they put in the policy itself, there has to be a nexus between the alleged incident and the punishment and how the punishment fits within the levels of disciplinary action set forth in the policy. So I don't believe that even if you can take the worst case scenario, I don't believe that you can make a presumption and not put on any evidence whatsoever that it affects the operational effectiveness.
So you're suggesting someone from the sheriff would have had to come and testify and say this type of behavior negatively impacts our image?
Yes, and I believe the case law supports that position.
And you don't think a commission can make that determination without someone saying that?
I don't. I believe the commission has the ability to see the witnesses, hear the evidence, and find whether the termination is arbitrary or capricious. But if you look at the case law, and even from Sarpy County itself, under Cox versus County of Sarpy, says generally, discharge of an employee protected by civil service or classified service may only occur for reasons stated in the enabling legislation or agreement. So we're talking about the collective bargaining agreement in this case. Cox was a member of the Sarpy County collective bargaining agreement. But it goes on, it goes on to say that there needs to be a direct hindrance to the effective performance of the county government functions. Such a finding was not supported by sufficient competent evidence. There's no evidence presented. There's no testimony. There can be no sufficient competent evidence.
Mr. Delaney, do you think the question of whether the conduct is so grave that continued employment would affect the operational effectiveness of the sheriff's office is a question of law or fact?
If it's part of the procedural question, it's a question of law.
Well, if it is a question of law, then how could someone come in and testify as to what you said they should have testified to, because then they would just be stating a conclusion of law?
Well, you still have to put on the evidence in order to support your conclusion.
And the evidence put on was that there was a law enforcement officer who allegedly engaged in unwelcome touching. You think there needed to be evidence from someone that said what? And this affects our operational ability?
That if we continue the employment of this person, we're not saying that there should not be any discipline. If this incident occurs and there's discipline to be imposed, the sheriff has the duty to say this is the discipline that's going to be imposed and this is the reason why. And if the policy says that this termination discipline can only be imposed when we show that it affects the operational effectiveness of the department as set forth in our policy, then that's the evidence that needs to be presented. I'm down to 1 minute for rebuttal, so I will step down. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for making that bigger.
Good idea. My name is Vince Valentino. May it please the court. I represent the Sarpy County Merit Commission in this matter in the County of Sarpy. There's a couple of things that I think are important to consider here. You'll notice that in the argument made by Mr. Delaney, his real focus was on trying to becoming shall include that which credits or disgrace or employee or embarrassment. Those are just simply examples of what conduct unbecoming can also include. It's just it's no different than a criminal statute where you have four or five different ways you can violate that statute. Any one of them can result in a conviction. Conduct unbecoming is clearly described as employees shall conduct themselves at all times both on and off duty in such a manner as to reflect most favorably on the sheriff's office. That's the gravamen of what this allegation was.
Would you mind, let's go back, I'd like to go back to Mr. Delaney's final argument with regard to SOP 2200.
Right.
His assertion is that there was no evidence to establish a nexus between the behavior and the operational effectiveness of the office. Would you agree that there was no evidence of that?
No, actually, what I would tell you is that if you look at the transcript that was prepared in the case, there was a specific report prepared by Chief Deputy London at that time. He is now Chief Deputy London. And at page 6 of that, he actually indicates on the violations that he noted from the various video evidence that Sergeant Wheeler's statements and actions that night had a serious and negative reflection on himself and those he represents as a sworn deputy of the Sarpy County Sheriff's Department. He also goes on to, in his recommendation, talks about the clear violations that he finds of the SOPs, in addition to the fact that the man was already charged with a third-degree sexual assault, which is one of the reasons why they did not want Gayla Ingold testifying. That case had been continued past this hearing. I think there was a reality here that they didn't want a free shot of cross-examination on her, possibly. But there was no reason he couldn't have called her or subpoenaed her as a witness.
Well, Mr. Valentino, I think what you just read to us supports or could be construed as evidence to fit what you have up there, that he engaged in conduct that was unbecoming. But what about the nexus? Where's the evidence of the nexus between the two?
Well, he's taken basically a policy dealing with the level of discipline, okay? The level of discipline is discretionary with the employer. There's no reason that an employer cannot terminate somebody based on an allegations that are corroborated by video evidence of groping somebody in a bar. I don't think one has to second-guess the Merit Commission's findings or their determination that his termination of this particular employee, Mr. Wheeler, was based upon the facts in that record. I don't think there has to be specific testimony regarding a specific policy that it does or doesn't constitute the violation so grave. A violation so grave is nothing more than the evidence itself. The evidence in this particular case that was presented can clearly be found as a matter of law to be a violation so grave that it results in impairing the effectiveness of the sheriff's department. I don't think you have to have the sheriff come in and testify, oh, well, this particular policy, in my opinion, is violated and I want him terminated. The fact that the sheriff made the determination that this employee should be terminated and not use some kind of progressive disciplinary features, and in fact, the contract that is in evidence in this case also gives the employer the full range of those penalties to apply. There's no constitutional right, and there's certainly no statutory right, nor is there a collective bargaining right to have a particular type of discipline applied to you when you have circumstances, certainly, that the sheriff determines to be something that is so grave that it ought to be assumed, certainly, and can be in the evidence itself, that it's grave enough that it constitutes reason to terminate somebody.
So is it your position that once evidence was submitted of this conduct, it was within the province of the commission to make the determination?
To uphold the sheriff.
To uphold the sheriff, and that the sheriff could have, based upon this evidence, determined the conduct was so grave as to impair.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Not that specific evidence.
Well, and the recent case of Douglas County versus Archie, I think, kind of confirms at least the fact that these merit commissions operate as judicial, sort of quasi-judicial administrative bodies, and that their factual determinations that they make to come to their final result and to affirm whatever actions have taken place at the administrative level, where you have the sheriff, having a layer of people that make recommendations to him. And clearly, I know Mr. Delaney says he wasn't going to argue the due process, but yet he was attacking the process itself in his argument that, well, London Mace just said this, which didn't comport with something else. The mere fact of the matter is the due process hearing that takes place is different than the pre-termination hearing. I mean, Cleveland versus Loudermill and the pre-termination determinations by the United States Supreme Court basically allows an employee, kind of as a first check, to be into the employer's office and say, I know the allegations are made against me. Here's my evidence, that I wanted to tell you. I this stuff is just not true. Once you get beyond that process, once you have a full administrative hearing before a merit commission, you then are met with the Scott versus Richardson County case that I had down in Richardson County, where Judge Bryan ruled, well, I think there was some problem with the pre-termination process. The Nebraska Supreme Court said, yeah, that whether that's true or not, we overrule a case that came out of the Court of Appeals, I believe, was, I'm trying to think about. But irrespective of that, the Nebraska Supreme Court said, once you have an opportunity to have a full termination hearing with the due process protections, anything that happened before that time frame is not really relevant for our purposes. So when you get into the opinion that Douglas County versus Archie, I think they lay out the rules fairly well in terms of what is the correct processes when you take the administrative appeal up. So to me, when you deal with what I consider to be the 2200B issue, that is a disciplinary issue. That isn't a finding that needs to be made necessarily related to conduct unbecoming. What it really is a disciplinary regulation that says, if you're going to terminate somebody, here's the guideline for that. And I think when you deal with the facts of this case, and you have what you have on the video, and you have what you have in the investigation, and you have a individual who comes in and says, I have no memory of this, and says it under oath in front of the Merit Commission, after he repeated the same thing in front of London and other people that are doing the investigation, I think it's within the Merit Commission discretion to say, okay, we are now faced with an individual who claims to have no memory of this woman, no memory of being, intoxicated, no memory of, he thinks somebody slipped something in his drink. I mean, seriously, once you get to that point with the Merit Commission and they realize where their evidence is and they look at it, it's within their discretion to say, not only do we find this guy violated that policy, this guy is gone. And why would it impair the efficiency? Think about it for just a minute. You send Wheeler out there with having, rope somebody in a bar while intoxicated or under the influence while off duty. Do you really want him showing up on a sexual violence offense investigation? I mean, the sheriff has to realize and does realize that you're not going to put people out there that have embarrassed your office, that have embarrassed themselves, that have violated their oath as a police officer. And there's no question that professionals know when they have done something wrong in that process. And there's lots of case law out there that have talked about conduct unbecoming and how it applies to paramilitary operations such as law enforcement officers aside from the military itself. So I guess what I would tell you...
So is it your position that in terms of progressive discipline, I mean, in this case, the discipline went straight to the worst case scenario.
And it deserved to be there.
And is there evidence in the record that that has been the case? I mean, if any law enforcement officer engages in any type of sexually related unwanted contact, is there anything in the record to indicate this is consistently how the discipline rules are applied?
I don't think there's ever been a case like this before they've had in Sarpy County that I'm aware of. And if there had been, I can guarantee you, Matt Barrel, the witness for the defendant in this case, who's been on the FOP for many years, would have dug it up.
Thank you. Is there a rebuttal time? Thank you.
Mr. Delaney, before you, well, your time will start, but before you get to start, I want to make sure I understand your position. Is your position that your client's conduct did not rise to the level sufficient to terminate him under the SOP, or is your position there was no evidence to support that there was a nexus between his conduct and his termination and the operations of the sheriff's office?
And I want to make sure I understand you correctly. We are not arguing that he did not have disciplinary action that could be taken against him. That our position is that there was no evidence presented that his continued employment, some discipline less than termination, could have and would have been more appropriate. And the failure of the sheriff's office to comply with G-2200 is what prevents him from being able to be discharged. It violates their own policy.
Because you understand that at this level, right, our standard of review is fairly restricted.
I do.
Right? So your suggestion is that they violated their own or didn't follow their own procedures for imposing this discipline.
And rules and procedures, yes.
And that constitutes arbitrary conduct based on the case. I know you cited the case in your brief.
Yes, and if I may just very briefly, the no factual determination was made by the commission. They issued a one-sentence report. As counsel just said, he gave all these scenarios about if he went on a call for a sexual... None of those were testified to. It's fine that Mr. Valentino brings this up now, but nothing was testified to. If that would have been the evidence, we would be arguing something differently right now. But that evidence was not included at that hearing by any witness. And I'm out of time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Matter is submitted, and we are now adjourned. Thank you.